Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Tuesday. That does feel like a Monday. I'll echo the sentiments of one Jeff Calkins. It does, because we've got plenty to get to from over the weekend. Hopefully, everyone had a happy Memorial Day weekend, a happy and safe one. Brad, I trust that you did.
I had a good one. It looked like you had a good one as well.
You were on the road.
I was on the road. I saw my parents, yeah. Went and visited them. And they're in Illinois up by St. Louis.
It looks like your man Jake has just sprouted up. I saw the picture of him with the grandparents, Precious, and he looked like he was Dirk Nowitzki standing between them.
They're also midgets.
How much has he grown, though?
He's grown 6 inches in the last 8 months.
Yeah. So they may be short, but he is getting taller.
He took a shot up. Yeah. He's about 6 feet tall.
I know grandparents are proud. Young Jake on his baseball journey now. I saw he had his baseball gear on, looking very good this weekend. I, too, was with my son.
Yeah.
Spent a couple of days over at EYBL. I cannot wait. We've got plenty to get to today, but I cannot wait to, at some point, talk about what went down this weekend at the Memphis Sports and Event Center. I should say the beautiful Memphis Sports and Event Center.
What'd you think?
You had been there.
Yes.
I had not. You had told me how beautiful the place was, and my gosh, you were absolutely right. It's gorgeous.
Yes.
It's huge. Yes. And it's funny, I hate that I was just getting over there, because everybody else has been in there now, and you've had, now the EYBL made its Session 4 stop in Memphis. Huge deal, because you had J.J. Greer said it best. He's over with Memphis Tourism now. You know, this meant millions for Memphis. It wasn't just Team Thad. We talked to Norton Hurd last week about the chance for them going to Peach Jam, everything else. You had dozens of 17 and under teams, dozens more teams of lower age divisions in town, which meant, Brad, hotel rooms full, restaurants full. I saw teams going down to the Civil Rights Museum. So Memphis was jumping this weekend. Plus Liberty Park. Yeah, at the same time EYBL's going on. Showboats over there.
How could I forget?
At Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. So it was jumping. You got the fair that's going on over there. The little, man, I don't even know what you call that little small fair. CJ and I went a couple years ago. It's the smallest one.
Yeah.
That's right there in that Bluff City Fair. The Bluff City Fair. It's kind of like the little knockoff fair. I don't want to hit it too hard. It's small, bigger. Not in comparison to our larger fairs. But my point was Liberty Park was absolutely jumping this weekend. Got plenty to talk about from EYBL, including Bryce James wearing Jaws. That's a big deal. Bryce James, son of LeBron James, who has his own shoe. This weekend wearing Ja 1s at the EYBL, it tells you about how big these Ja 1s can be, and basically how big Ja Morant can be in the league. Those Ja 1s were all over the EYBL this weekend, everybody getting their EYBL editions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Brad.
I saw it has EYBL on the tongue of the shoe.
Right, and so here's the key, and like I said, we got plenty to get to, but if you've got ballers wearing them, and not just for the look, but if they're comfortable. I mean, he had one of the most popular shoes this week in EYBL. You got Durant's out there. Yep. You got LeBron's out there. These kids can wear anything they want to. He had one of the most popular shoes. And if it's comfortable, then this is going to be a thing where you've got the young guys wearing them coming up. Maybe you get some more NBA guys. We've seen KCP in the league wearing them. You get more guys saying, these are comfortable shoes for me. Remember how Desmond Bane couldn't wear anything except the LeBrons in this postseason because of the toe injury?
Yeah.
If these Jaws can be comfortable for these guys, and apparently they looked pretty comfortable in this weekend, all these top prospects that were in Memphis, then this is a shoe that can last, because then you've got the look and the players like how they feel. You know what I'm saying? They're not like, busting apart at the seams like that Zion, you know, that's, you know,
exploding
Zion when he's at
shoes,
Duke.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how his shoes are doing in terms of feel, but Ja's shoes got a chance to be much more popular than Zion's Jordan brand. We've got a lot to talk about because the finals are set. The 8-seed Miami Heat, Brad, they did it. They slammed the door last night on the Boston Celtics' attempts to become, yes, the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-0 deficit. How many times have we said that? Now we could put all of that to bed. 103-84 last night for Miami in Boston, and it came on the heels, Brad, of what I thought was a series-ending tip-in from Derek White in Game 6.
I thought so, too.
I mean, just how deflating that was on your own home floor.
Yeah.
In Game 6, so we won't just talk about, obviously, Game 7 that was pretty one-sided last night. We'll get to both and sort of what it means for the Miami Heat now, who are big underdogs, obviously, the Denver Nuggets for the NBA Finals as we look to get set for that. Game 1 is on Thursday. And then what it means for the Boston Celtics, because they've got major questions to answer. Jaylen Brown is up for a huge extension. Then you've got Jason Tatum next summer up for his extension. That's essentially $600 million in max extensions between the two of them. And can you, under this new CBA, you know, keep it to, you know, right now they've got pretty much everybody signed up. I think Grant Williams is the only guy that's a restricted free agent. But Jaylen Brown with one more year up for the extension. Do you go all in on him after what you saw from him in this series? Jaylen Brown would be good. I want to make this clear in the two series before Miami. But he was awful for the most part against Miami. 8 turnovers last night. 8 field goals, 8 turnovers. And at a time where they needed him to step up, you know, obviously that game was changed early when Jason Tatum gets the ankle injury on the first possession. They needed Jaylen Brown to step up in a bigger way. He could not. The man of the hour was Jimmy Butler again, named Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Got that Larry Bird Trophy. A former G Leaguer, though, Caleb Martin was the story. And maybe there's a lesson for us here back home. When it comes to young players and writing them off, you know, Caleb Martin, undrafted, did it the hard way.
Yeah.
And look at how big he was for Miami in this series. So much so that Caleb Martin got 4 of the 9 MVP votes.
I saw this.
For Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Butler barely beat him out. Caleb Martin almost won the Eastern Conference MVP. He was absolutely huge for him this this series. We mentioned the EYBL. We'll get to that. Ja Morant's unfollowing, folks.
Yeah, I saw this too. Including his father?
Was it the
Or other players?
I saw Devontae Pack was on
other
there.
Players, his
longtime
best friend.
I hadn't seen anything. If you've seen his dad or anything else, I would be surprised.
Well, people started snooping around with whatever.
Devontae Pack, his longtime best friend, and the guy that he's been with in many of these situations, including the most recent, it was Pack's Instagram, IG Live.
Yeah.
That showed the latest gun incident, the second gun incident. Of course, Pack was involved with the Pacers incident where he's on the floor, you know, gets to talking with the Pacers players, everything else. The word is that Ja's unfollowed. Now, usually I don't pay much attention to who NBA players are following or unfollowing, but apparently some news agencies are, and maybe because it's Devontae Pack, maybe it is news because of who he unfollowed. We'll discuss. We are still waiting on word on the Ja Morant suspension. So, whether that'll be before the finals now or after, maybe the more likely is after. Now, would you do it in the buildup before?
I thought there
was a chance last week, especially on Friday, for sort of a dump and you get it behind you. But now that we've got the finals, you know, staring at us here on Thursday, I'm not sure, you know, whether the NBA does that now or maybe more likely afterwards and you just bury it after the season. We shall discuss that. I don't know if anything's changed in terms of what we feel like is coming down, but it certainly has been a wait. Grizzlies deserve to know at some point what it is. Showboats again, 23-20 over the Gamblers. That's 4 in a row for the Showboats. I'm not going to miss them. I'm not going to not talk about them. We'll mention them at some point, too. They had Liberty Park buzzing this weekend. Had a couple of friends out there. I didn't get to go. Yeah, we went to EYBL instead, but had a family of some friends out there that had a fantastic time as the Showboats won their fourth in a row, and Brad moved to 4-3. They're in second place in the division, and if the season ended right now, your Memphis Showboats, coached by Todd Haley, would be in the playoffs.
The hottest team in the USFL.
I feel so damn guilty because
you wrote them off,
and
Jason.
You all should too. Like I was the only one.
I know, I said,
all should too.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back though. That's the problem.
And we did.
Yeah.
We did.
How
when
dare
they were
you.
0-3.
We all did.
We were. And Todd Haley, I apologize. as a longtime Memphis sports watcher, we were saying the best thing about your team was, frankly, you after losses and getting into it with the opposing coach when they were sitting 0-3. Dude, they have dominated. And now we'll tell you where they stack up in the USFL power rankings because it will be. Yeah, you'll want to know we get set. So, like I said, tons to talk to. Jason Munns from the CA also had some Tigers non-conference schedule news. Very important because it basically completes the non-conference portion of the Tigers schedule. We know why that's so important because now in a new-look AAC, Houston, Cincinnati gone. Hell, that was two of your three most attended games last year. Going to be less to chew on in terms of good wins in the AAC. Sure, you've got FAU this year, but after that, it gets pretty thin. And so I say that to say, you know, your non-conference schedule and how tough it is, critical, even more so for the Tigers as the conference changes. So we'll talk about that last edition that Munns reported over the weekend and what it sort of means. I mean, you look at this schedule, whoo, it's a doozy. You look at this roster right now, whoo, it's not a doozy.
Thin, Jason.
And so some things got to balance out if it's going to be a successful one for the Tigers this season, especially against this level of schedule. We know that Penny's got the other reason you got to keep the non-conference schedule, you know, buzzing and good and really, you know, challenging is because you want to get fans in seats at FedEx Forum. You know, CA had that report last week where the Tigers have, we saw after pulling the open records request, have lost 25% of their season ticket sales. So you have to make sure you've got quality level opponents in FedEx Forum. Penny also trying to do that as well. Before we get to all that, ooh, it's a mouthful. You can probably tell John Martin here, not here, he would have already cut me off by now. John is in Serbia, if you weren't with us last week on vacation. Why is John in Serbia? No, he's not doing research on the home of one Jokic. He is over there right now because his father-in-law is actually from Serbia, so has invited the family over. They've got Riley over there, Sam, whole family's there. So we'll hold down the fort this week while John holds it down in Europe. And I highly doubt we may sometime later on in the week touch base with him. I just don't want to. I think it's already Wednesday over there.
He's been doing a good job of actually tweeting and putting some stuff on social media. Did you see who he ran into?
Was it Giannis?
Giannis in the airport, he ran into him.
Which airport? The Chicago
I'm
airport?
I'm assuming it was the American. Yeah.
He flew from here to Chicago, went from Chicago to Serbia.
Yeah.
So it had to be in the Chicago airport.
Because Giannis probably coming down from Milwaukee to fly out of Chicago.
Wow.
How about that?
Just see him out. It looked like he was getting a coffee or something.
Yeah.
I doubt he'll see any celebrities bigger than that because Jokic, I doubt, has gone home in between the break here. He's had a long break. He's had enough time to go home.
Oh, yeah.
And come back. But, yeah, Denver Nuggets have sort of been waiting for this for a while now and get a Miami Heat team that's, I would think, worn down going into this series. That said, before we get to all that, like we said, 11:30 or so, we'll talk to Jessica Benson like we do every Tuesday. Ask her what she thinks about Miami's chances now that they've become just the second 8 seed to advance to the finals. Knicks and 99 were the only other one. They got beat in 5, I believe that was. A lot of people got Denver in 5.
Yeah.
In this game, maybe Miami's got the advantage in game one, even though they're heavy underdogs, obviously, just because they've been playing. You know, Denver's had that rust. We'll see if Jessica Benson subscribes to that theory. We'll do the rundown at noon where we'll really get into what I saw at the Nike EYBL Session 4. Spent 2 days out there. Saw Billy Richmond III. Saw Curtis Givens III. Obviously, both Tigers targets for 2024. Team Thad, we had program director Norton Hurd in here last week, had a huge opportunity this weekend, and took pretty full advantage of it. Brad got
had a
chance to go 5-0.
Yeah,
we're 4-0 there for the last game, playing Brad Beal Elite in the final game yesterday on Memorial Day, and lost at the buzzer. Was tough. So 4-1, they've qualified. No issue. 4-1, they've qualified for the Peach Jam. They do not win the EYBL regular season title, but at 14-3, they are one of the favorites going into the Peach Jam in July. So a ton of that. We mentioned it. Bryce James was there. Cooper Flagg, who I'll school you on if you don't already know, number 2 prospect in the class of 2025.
Yeah,
white kid, and he is cold.
Really.
Wait till John's probably already seen the videos and the mixtapes and stuff, but wait till you, like, number 2 prospect. I think he's only behind Boozer's kid in the class of 2025, and he averaged basically a triple-double out there this week in 5 EYBL games. Yeah, combo forward.
Yeah.
Does a little bit of everything. 6'8", 6'9"-ish.
Yeah.
I got some more details on him. We'll get to that because, again, the EYBL from the event itself.
I'm excited to hear this.
Nike coming to Memphis.
Yeah.
The thing went off without a hitch, it looked like. I've got tons of thoughts from it, tons of prospects to talk about, and obviously the performance of Team Thad. So we'll get to all that in the rundown around noon. And then at 1:25, we'll talk to Trista Crick, host of BetMGM Tonight and the Heat Check NBA podcast on the Odyssey Network. What does she think of Miami's win last night? You know, it does. I feel for Jason Tatum because the game inevitably changed right there on the first possession when he turns the ankle there. I believe it was on Gabe Vincent's foot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously wasn't intentional, one of those things. But you cannot use it as an excuse. Miami has been dealing with injury the entire playoffs. They've lost guys. Tyler Hero's been watching the entire thing from the bench. They also lost Oladipo. They've had guys like Kyle Lowry, who at times this playoffs has been completely ineffective, although he did step up at points last night. So you cannot blame injury. And Jayce Tatum was able to finish that game. I know he was wincing and everything else. So Boston just too reliant on the three-pointer. And that Miami zone last night absolutely befuddled them. So we'll talk to Trista about Miami. Again, I feel a little bit guilty because I'll try to balance it out. Like we talked about with Michael Malone and you guys making the Lakers the story, the general media, national media, as opposed to Denver advancing. Miami is the story, them advancing as an 8 seed, but it's hard not to talk about Boston with all of the expectations. What is it, 5 out of the last 7 years, 5 or 6, whatever it is, they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals, only one finals. So it's with the questions they've got on Jaylen Brown, it's hard not to discuss, okay, what's next for Boston. We'll do a little bit of that as well, but we'll make sure we pay enough attention to the accomplishment the Miami Heat have done so far this year in being an 8 seed, advancing to the finals. How much of a chance do you really give them against Denver? We will see. Not many people, and certainly the books aren't giving them much of a chance. So that's today's show. But like we said, we'll start with the finals. There's no question it was the biggest story certainly yesterday. 2 days, we mentioned it, after giving up that what must have been a gut-wrenching last-second tip for the Heat when you see Derek White make the inbounds pass with, 3 seconds left to Marcus Smart. The shot doesn't go in. Derek White, due credit to him, comes from out of bounds, having made the inbounds pass, has the presence of mind, telling my son this, sometimes hustle just can win you games. Being around the ball can win you games. Presence of mind to roll to the basket as Smart shot, who it looked like was going to go in for, let's be real, that shot was in and out.
Yep.
He rolls the basket, gets the tip off. My initial BC, I didn't think he had gotten the tip off.
I thought
Miami had won the game
and
therefore the series. But when you went back and saw the pictures of it and it slowed down to milliseconds and everything else, it was so clear that Derek White got in there before the buzzer, gets the tip, and Boston wins in unbelievably dramatic fashion. You had Tatum hugging Derek. Everybody was hugging Derek White because it was literally survived.
Yeah.
Because of him, you survived.
Yeah.
Tatum had been great that game, but if not for the tip, they're losing right there. And it set up at that time what we all thought was going to be the end of the Miami Heat yesterday in Boston. Like, there's no way, right, after winning 3 straight, the Miami Heat are going to be able to pull themselves together after such a deflating loss and get a win in Boston, right? Boston was a heavy favorite going into the game, obviously, as you would expect, and they had essentially turned the momentum. Did not play well down the stretch of Game 6. Blew, a 9-10-point lead there late. Allowed Jimmy Butler to take the lead on those free throws. So, but you found a way to win. That said, and it felt like they had the momentum. That said, you have to give all credit in the world to Jimmy Butler and the way the Miami Eric Spoelstra and the way that Heat team picked itself up off the floor, literally. Boston helped, missed its first 12 threes of the game. And you have to give Miami's defense a ton of credit. Spoelstra going with zone, it helps when Jason Tatum is not the same, as he said, a shell of himself yesterday. Once he's not able to move, you could see him moving, wincing, moving gingerly. So unable to get to the basket. And seemingly, having to settle in a lot of cases. And so it comes down to, can Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and the rest of the guys sort of get it done for you? And last night they were unable to. And for the most part, Jaylen Brown was able to do it for the series. We mentioned last night, 8 turnovers for him in a basically must-play-well spot. Again, it leads you to the question of, you know, Boston facing a $295 million max extension for Jaylen Brown. Maybe it's an easy answer, Brett. Maybe because it's this: how do you do better? Right. How do you do better than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? But again, against an 8 seed, which was down, guys, and basically was last night was great defense, Jimmy Butler, and this former G Leaguer named Caleb Martin knocking you out.
Yeah.
So again, I go back to there is absolutely no excuse for Boston, even with a first year head coach. Remember, this is a place they've been to, again, like we mentioned, what, 5 out of the last 7 years?
Yeah.
They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so, again, Jimmy Butler, we mentioned the how good he was, 28 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists in the 43 minutes. He gets the Larry Bird Trophy for Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He was absolutely magnificent. It was really at the – after struggling for almost all of Game 6, came alive to put Miami in position to win before the white tip, and then – You got to give them credit. Last year, they lose this game in Miami, and Jimmy Butler up on the press table with Kyle Lowry says, "We're gonna be here next year." You know, Kyle Lowry's nodding. I'm sure Jimmy Butler believed it. I don't even know if Kyle Lowry believed it. Remember, they were the 1 seed last year.
Yeah.
There was reason to believe they would be right back. That said, you look at this team in the regular season, they're just the 3rd team in NBA history to reach the finals with a negative point differential. This team was trailing Chicago in the 2nd play-in game after losing the 1st one to Atlanta. You can make a great case they shouldn't even have been here. And so the accomplishment itself is tremendous. And like we said, Caleb Martin, undrafted, he's a story on his own, goes for 26 points last night, and really for much of that game was the most important player on the floor because Boston could not stop him. The confidence that was oozing out of him, watching, again, this former undrafted player, G Leaguer, I think he was cut from Charlotte, take over this game against a Boston Celtics team that had no answers. Again, it just went to what happened to this talented Celtics team that shouldn't have been so reliant on the three or so reliant on Jason Tatum to have to, you know, give you a 30 to 40 point game. Do you feel sorry for Boston at all? Any excuses
Not at all.
For them?
None.
Okay.
None
right.
whatsoever.
I'm just making sure here.
I thought Caleb Martin was the biggest story, though, late here in the playoffs. I just enjoyed that whole storyline.
Came off the bench for the first 5 games of the series, averaged 17.6 points, the 5th most by a reserve in conference finals history, and then Spoelstra put him in the starting lineup for Game 6. He had 21 in that one and then had 26 last night. What does it say when you watch a guy like Caleb Martin, who last night looked like a guy who had been doing it for years, he had that kind of confidence, taking some huge shots for Miami, when you watch a guy like that, who some other teams had written off, what does it make you say about, you know, or think about the way we've looked at some of these Grizzlies young players?
No, I like where you're going with
this. My only point is that, you know, usually every Friday, and a lot of times it's during most weekdays, whether it's from my partner John Martin or my buddy Anthony Sane, what we're doing is writing off Grizz rookies. They've written off Zaire, and many of you have, and that's fine. But remember, too, how young Zaire Williams is. And remember, too, that he started this year with injuries after being relatively pretty impressive last year. Averaged 8 against Golden State in the playoffs. You know, for that role, you were good with. You know, many have written him off. Some have written off Jake LaRavia.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying that the Grizzlies have hit on these guys. I'm not saying that they're not misses. They may very well be.
Right.
But when you watch a Caleb Martin, sometimes who's older than those guys at 27 years old, but had to do it the tough way, comes through the G League, writing guys off early, sometimes it's frankly futile because you end up coming back and you're having to apologize. Or, you know what I'm saying later on? Because my point is that hopefully for the Grizzlies, you know, whether it's one or multiple of these guys can pay off for you down the stretch. We liked what we saw from Roddy in the playoffs. He clearly has got to shoot the ball better from three if he's going to be a significant part of the rotation going forward. But look at what LaRavia did in the G League this year, the way he shot the ball. You know, there was promise there. And again, when you watch stories like Caleb Martin, not saying that LaRavia is going to become that or even that important in that kind of game, but my point is writing these guys off early when they're in the stages of their development where they really haven't even been given a shot, especially a Jake LaRavia, I just think is a foolish thing to do at this point. Now, again, they may have the early eye, but we have written guys off before, and how many times have we had to go back and say, well, damn, He's better than I thought.
Yeah, Caleb Martin was set up, though, for this moment because he went undrafted in 2019, and the expectations were low, right? And because of injury, he gets in there and he gets this opportunity, whereas what the Grizzlies did, I'm not saying they set those guys up for failure like Roddy or Zaire Williams, but like they drafted him high and they took out, you know, you get rid of Anderson and you give him lots of minutes and the expectations get way ramped up.
Well, I also believe there's a thing, a real thing called heat culture. And whether it's just them, they can take guys like a Gabe Vincent or a Caleb Martin and get the most out of them. Whether you could do, you have to have that. There's no guarantee.
That's right.
That while we've liked what this front office has done, we've said they're not perfect. There's no guarantee they're in that same boat.
Yep.
You understand what
I do.
It's not
yeah.
a culture to that extent yet when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, they got 20 years
and
of this.
And so you've got to still prove that you've got the development system and everything else. Now, if you look at the way the Grizzlies have developed some of their other young players, mm-hmm. whether it be Brandon Clark, right, or even a Desmond Bain, Ja in some ways in terms of his on-court performance, mm-hmm. Jaren Jackson's development. You've liked what you've seen, but my point is, you know, hopefully there's something in there that can be Caleb Martin-ish for you, whether it's Roddy, whether it's LaRavia, whether it might even still be Zaire Williams. All those guys, you know, whether you know, this offseason, I suppose, a lot of those young guys have got to be, you're at this point, they're all tradable if you can.
Yes.
I'm not saying that any of them are guys that you lock in on, and, oh, I'm not touching that one. Mm-hmm. There's only three guys on this team, as far as I'm concerned, that are in that boat, but... Like I said, let's see what Zaire looks like next year before we've completely written him off. I've started to believe the Saints and John Martins, they've been wearing on me that there might not be anything there. But I've liked enough of the way that shot looks. Mm-hmm. And again, we're reminded of sometimes it takes a little longer. Guys need more opportunities, and Zaire certainly got it with that slow start because of the injury last year, didn't get much of one. And hell, they need the shooting. LaRavia, as a 38 to 40% shooter, hell, even if it was 36 to 40.
Sure.
On this team, you could absolutely lose it, love it, especially at that size. Back to last night, we mentioned real quick before we get to Jessica Benson, Boston way too reliant on the three. Last two games, they were 16 of 77. Last night, they were 9 of 42, and we mentioned it, missed their first 12 threes as Miami built that lead. Meanwhile, they go 14 of 28 from three. And again, if Miami's winning the three-point battle, especially with a Jason Tatum that's hurting, it's a formula for a Game 7 loss. I really thought there for a while, though, Brad, we were about to see two Boston teams. You had the Red Sox do it against the Yankees, and then this Celtics team. It really seemed like there it was destined for a minute.
Could you believe 30 for 30 type stuff at first end, team
coming back from 3-0 deficit.
I couldn't believe what I was watching, though, because I just figured somehow, some way they'd win that game at home in Game 7, and it just they blew them out there.
Well, yeah, that by the second half,
even
you knew
with
it was
the injury
over for the most part.
And
especially Caleb Martin's third quarter, you knew that for the most part it was done. And then I saw the stat going in the fourth. Whether it was a double-digit lead for Miami going in the fourth quarters, hadn't blown any of those in the playoffs. So by that time, the Celtics were behind the eight ball. And with Jaylen Brown, you know, as ineffective as he was, there was just no way for them to win that game. Derek White can't carry you. As good as he was for those last two games, you can't ask Derek White to do it. Brogdon was hurt. You know, here's the thing about the Celtics were supposed to, last year, after turning the ball over too much in the finals, go get the point guard, clean it up. Well, the Brogdon thing goes well through the regular season, wins the sixth man, but then he's hurt here in the playoffs. And in the end, when you really needed, you know, Jaylen Brown, instead of being an ISO guy that's trying to get it all on his own, you know, a guy like Brogdon can help set that up. Allow Jaylen to play off the ball, set up, that's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, whatever else it is. That was supposed to be what happened this year for the Celtics. But in the end, it really was the same things that cost them last year. Turnovers, not being able to handle the ball.
Yeah.
You do not want to see Jaylen Brown one-on-one and asking him to go win the game for you because he is a walking turnover at this point in his career. I'm not saying that can't get better, but it was an issue for him last year. You come right back, and in the season's biggest game, franchise's biggest game this year, he commits 8 turnovers for you. So, again, and now you're looking at having to give him $295 million in a 5-year – $295 million over 5 years. That's like 50-something, 58, $59 million per year. Is that the, you know, does
Ooh,
that?
Ooh, it's a tough decision.
Well, yeah. Because again, the question is, can you do better?
Right.
Can you do better? We'll ask Jessica Benson that when we come back. Jessica Benson of Grind City Media and, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies. What does she think? Can Boston do better? Are you too all in with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to turn back now? What does she make of this Miami Heat team, and how many more wins as an underdog? It's 9 this postseason, ties an NBA record. How many more wins as an underdog can they get? Because they're certainly a big one for this Denver series. Like we mentioned, final start on Thursday. We got that to talk about. We got EYBL to talk about. A Showboats get another win. Plenty more when we come back. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports, now open with better odds and favorable prices. With Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jessica Benson's the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt at GrindCityMedia.com and host of the Grizzlies pre- and post-game shows here on 92.9 FM. You can follow her on Twitter at JessBensonTV. She's kind enough to join us every Tuesday, and she does now. Jess, how did Miami do that after losing the way they did in Game 6 at home?
I think you saw that Heat culture in action, right? I mean, they just looked like the totally more professional team and looked to be firmly in control as the team that expected to win that game. You lose in absolutely heartbreaking fashion with a Derek White put back that some saw and put their phones down thinking no way could the Celtics have won that game. I don't know if you saw the viral clip out of the wedding of some Miami Heat fans, but they weren't even aware that the shot had gone in. And yet you had a Heat team that was motivated, that knew that they could come back and walk into TD Garden in Boston and get the win and prevent history from having happened. You know that Jimmy Butler, any player, any human, doesn't want to be the one who stops a 150-plus teams have done this and failed. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that. So the Heat get it done, and now we get Heat Nuggets. Just took about a week longer than we expected to be able to say that.
Yep, and Nuggets have had much rest in anticipation of this one, and we'll get to what you think of that series here in a second. But any sympathy at all for Jason Tatum and the Celtics? And especially considering the injury early there and how much it affected the game.
Right. I mean, it's the first play. Of course, mm-hmm. there has to be some level of, oh, man, this is why every single game that extends within a series and a long postseason, there's always running the risk of this could be the game where player X gets injured. And in the case of the Celtics, it's Jason Tatum. But still, that team, I'm not sold that that game goes any differently if Jason Tatum is not hobbled. And yes, obviously he was tremendously affected, and watching him even just labor to get up and down when he was seated on the bench was tough to see, but he still plays 42 minutes. He only takes 13 shots, but you just needed so much more from Jaylen Brown and company, and they weren't prepared to give it. So injuries are unfortunately a necessary evil in the games of sports that we so love, and this one certainly affects the Celtics, but you can't blame Jason Tatum for only putting up 84 points in a game seven. Come on.
Caleb Martin and his story and how, you know, big he was in big moments for them. We've seen it. This is Heat culture. Gabe Vincent was big for them in this series, obviously, and in big spots. So when it comes to when it comes to that story, is there a lesson to be learned there? I mean, obviously it was great, and he got 4 of the 9 MVP votes. He's huge in this series. Jimmy Butler ends up getting it. But in terms of Caleb, is there a lesson for us to be learned there in terms of players fighting through and taking some time to develop, and maybe they pay off big for you down the line?
I like to think so. Granted, you can never look at one exception to the rule, right? At the end of the day, yes, the Heat are making it to the NBA Finals as an 8 seed, as the first play-in tournament contender to make it to the NBA Finals to win a playoff series after they made it through the first round. And they have all of this developed internally talent, whether it be Caleb Martin, whether it be Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Duncan Robinson. Yep. And you love to see that, and you love to think of, okay, if you can develop a culture like the Heat have done, then you too can take some of these underlooked gems, these lost gems of the draft, or guys who don't get drafted. And if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, obviously there's been a lot of care and consideration in trying to find a handful of those guys to put on the roster. I think ultimately for all of us, always, we can always use a lesson in patience, and it's hard in this fast and quick world where we're evaluating things based on did you win a championship this year or not, and that tends to be the golden ring that everyone is obviously looking forward to. But there does have to be some lessons, and okay, sometimes you have to, I hate always going back, but trust the process, trust people's processes, trust the development of players and what you're doing in your G League, what you're doing within the abilities of bringing these guys who may not be the stars per se, but they ultimately be the glue guys who get you through a series. Yep. The Heat did not win that series because of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. They won that series because of Caleb Martin, because of Gabe Vincent and company.
Is it as simple as Boston's too far down the road with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know, not to give him the for Brown, it's a $295 million extension, I believe it is, that he's up for this summer. And then for Tatum, it's like $318 next year. So it's essentially $600 million in extensions. Are you just, you know, are they in a position where they have to run it back, or should they be looking at the situation with Jaylen Brown last night and in this series not effective enough and saying, well, maybe it's not going to happen with these two? How do they, you know, approach that road and that question?
You can definitely get sucked into recency bias to say, man, Jaylen Brown really struggled dribbling the basketball last night. Can you really commit $295 million to him? I still say yes, and it's because he's still one of the best young wings in the league. He's 26 years old, and Jason Tatum is 25. And again, it goes back to that patience element. Have they won a championship? No, but there is still significant time for them to do so. The disappearing act of them as a duo in critical moments for Boston remains one of basketball's greatest mysteries, and yeah, they certainly have to get that figured out. But I think it's far too soon to be pulling the plug if you're Boston on these two young, very, very talented players who could certainly one day lead your team to a championship. It's difficult to say that coming off a game last night. You have as many turnovers as you had field goals if you're Jaylen Brown, and he wasn't ready for that big moment of having to be forced into being the number one option. But if you're Boston, I think you look at it ultimately as a, okay, if not Jaylen Brown, then who? And you still have a significant opportunity with Brown and Tatum as a duo.
Is it too early to say that the Celtics made a mistake by making Mazzulla full-time, that maybe they should have waited to see at least on the playoffs? Is it too early to say that that was a mistake?
I struggle with this as well, because so often there has to be a fall guy. And if the Celtics had been swept, even though I wouldn't have necessarily agreed with it, I'm at least fairly confident that Mazzulla might not have had a job going into this offseason. But he bought himself some time, in my opinion, by at least stretching it to 6, by getting the guys to come together, by not just laying down and rolling over dead and getting embarrassingly swept by an 8 seed. And they fight back. And I thought there were some nice adjustments on Jimmy Butler down the stretch. But ultimately, when you look at the Celtics, you can't always go back to the coach. You can't look at Joe Mazzulla and say, okay, we're going to move on from him now and bring in a fourth coach in 4 years, but we have the same cast of characters making the same boneheaded mistakes. There has to be responsibility doled out all around. And so I'm not quite ready to pass on Joe Mazzulla yet. Again, back to the patience element of it, I think his story still could be written in a different direction. It doesn't have to just be strictly based on how this postseason played out.
I agree. Talking with Jessica Benson of Grind City Media and the Memphis Grizzlies here on a Tuesday. As we turn it to the finals, Denver obviously a huge favorite. I think most of the books are projecting like Denver in five around that. What say you on this one? And I think it's 9 wins as an underdog in the postseason for Miami, ties the record in the NBA for the last 30 years in terms of postseason wins as an underdog. How many can they get against Denver?
I'll give him one, and I'll take the Nuggets in five. Yeah. And the only reason I give him one is because, similarly to why I did not ever firmly believe that the Celtics could come back down 3-0, I do not believe that Jimmy Butler loses 4 games in a row. I don't believe Jimmy Butler has it in him to be swept. Now, if there was a team who would have the ability to do it to Miami, it's Denver. And they are just built with size. There is no answer for Nikola Jokic. Outside of Bam Adebayo on the Heat, he's going to get dominated, in my opinion, going into this series. And Jokic is going to thrive, and we're again going to be thrust into the conversation of, was Nikola Jokic unfairly not given an MVP award this year because the play that this series could dictate could once again put him on a pedestal of looking pretty dang good. So I will take Nuggets in five. They're well rested. They've been sitting back. And I do think those players like the Caleb Martins and the Gabe Vincents perhaps go a little bit more back to the mean and don't quite thrive in the same abilities that they were able to against the Celtics versus that Denver depth.
I'm with you. Denver in five. I've got the same thing. In terms of this breaking news, saw where Bob Myers, president, general manager, obviously of that Golden State team, architect, as Woj put it, of those 4 NBA championships, is stepping down. How important is that, Jess? Is that any what kind of way representative of the question we've asked, you know, this offseason, is the dynasty dead? What do you think of Myers stepping down?
Yeah, that's immediately where my brain went back to. And I think you have to say, yes, it certainly represents a change in the course going forward. And when you are a 2-time executive of the year, when, like you said, you were able to lead the Warriors into 4 NBA championships, that's monumental stuff. And it's how they've been able to keep their core together. Obviously, the Kevin Durant year in there as well. And you look at how they have been able to stay atop the NBA's kind of pecking order, and Bob Myers was a massive part of that. So it'll be very interesting to see who ends up shifting into that role. I know this has kind of been the rumor of, was this maybe going to be the direction that happened in Golden State this off season. And now it'll be that next, their own next generation over there in Golden State. But I do think you're getting closer and closer to officially closing one door on a dynasty, even if some of those critical pieces of the Warriors are still there into this next stage.
If you're James Harden, you look at the situation now with Nick Nurse as your head coach, you're obviously unhappy with Doc at the end of that season when they asked you about him afterwards, like, as cold as a dead body when it came to your relationship with Doc. Does Nick Nurse fix it all if they can bring back James Harden? How much does he move the needle for you?
No, not much.
Okay, me too.
I mean, ultimately in Philly, it will forever and always be Joel Embiid and cast. Yep. And now to see what happens with Nick Nurse stepping into that head coaching role, they're going to play 100 million minutes when they're the stars. And it's such a curious thing, not curious, but it's such an obvious thing. Like, there is no time plan for Nick Nurse. It's win now. It's get out of second round purgatory and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and make it to the NBA Finals. And that's a tough role to step into with expectations as high as they are. But no, James Harden, not that big of a needle mover at this point in his career for me when it comes to what the Sixers ultimately can be next season.
And then I got to ask you about it because it's news and there are agencies out there that have reported it. I'm curious how important it is to you who John Morant doesn't follow or who he unfollows. Word is he unfollowed his best friend Devontae Pack. How much stock should we put into this, if any?
Oh, man, I woke up yesterday coming off of a wonderful end of a holiday weekend, catching up on social media. I'd stayed off Twitter, and I was met by all of the internet sleuths having gone through all. And I was just like, can we just
the time dedicated to do that, JB? They were throwing away their weekend, it felt like.
I know. And I just want to remind people there's a whole world out there outside of social media. I think you can read into it in whatever direction you want. Is it him going through and deciding who he is and is not following? Is there a team working with him PR-wise who's helping him make those decisions? Did something happen? We'll never know. But I think so much of the discourse that we all get sucked into sometimes is an effect of, okay, am I trying to read into a passive aggressiveness that doesn't even exist when it comes to the internet? Mm. And so until you actually hear from somebody, you never know. You don't know what's going on with someone's account. No. But I will say to the internet sleuth, to the Nancy Drews out there, you do the work so the rest of us don't have to spend that much time on the internet. And I appreciate it.
And I tell you what, it was met with great celebration. From some.
I know.
I'm like you. I couldn't put that much into it. It's not like you're going to, you know, take the guy out of your Fave Five or something. You've grown up with him. He's on your high school team back in the, y'all grew up together. But no, I'm like, I don't want to put too much stock in it, you know?
It was so much easier when we had MySpace and it was a top eight. And, you know, you could just very easily
it was so
tell
easy.
Where someone stood in someone's life.
It was so easy. JB, thank you. And thank you for every Tuesday that we get to spend with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yep. Good to talk to you, Jason.
You too. She is Jessica Benson. Check her out weekday mornings on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt at grindcitymedia.com. Follow on Twitter. Hopefully you're already doing that at Jess Benson TV. Certainly appreciate her and her time. I know what I was eager, Brad, to get your take on this and see if you would be celebrating the news that Ja Morant at some point over the weekend, as reported by MSN News and many others, unfollowed his man Devontae Pack. Now, for those that have been under a rock, Pack's been involved with many of the instances, including the last one. It was his IG Live that had Ja with the gun in the car. It was his, you know, him on the sidelines with the Pacers and the incident afterwards in the car area underneath FedEx Forum and the visitors area with the team bus.
Yeah.
And so many of these incidents have involved Pack. I just, you know, I do feel almost guilty getting too far into it because we did this last week with Ja's posts about, you know, his family.
Yeah, and before the cops showed up.
And it was how much. And I tell you what, enough attention was paid to it that the cops thought it was important
wellness,
enough to go out there in terms of a wellness check and do this. Now we're paying attention to, or some are paying attention to, as Jessica put it, the internet sleuths, the fact that Ja's unfollowing his best friend, a guy who in instances appears to be perhaps a potential negative influence around Ja. Mm-hmm. Is it news to you? Is it a good thing for you if indeed this is the case and Ja's unfollowed his best friend?
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems like a positive move. He's the guy who filmed you the second time, right?
Let me ask you, and been with you and all. Can the Grizzlies ask him to do this with any hope that...
Yeah.
Or is that... Can they make him do it? Like, you can't make him do it,
I
right?
don't think they can make him do it, but
can,
just
can
like...
Can you suggest
they,
it as part of his...
Yeah. Well, I would say
steps towards rehabilitation or a better, more positive job.
They put his friend out of their arena. So, you know, they were kind of tipping their hand as to how they feel about the whole situation.
Yeah. In that case, it's a very important note on that, too. The NBA suspended him from FedEx Forum for a year, right?
Yeah.
Rather than the Grizzlies. I remember that we differentiated between the two because it allowed the Grizzlies to say, oh, we didn't do it,
right.
You know, when it comes to Ja and the handling of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you're putting his best friend out for a year. I hesitate to say this is news, but if it is, I don't see how it could be a negative thing.
I'm the same as you.
You know, if Ja is in any way distancing himself, whether it's just on social media in terms of what they put out, because, listen, I highly doubt that we're talking about a situation where Devontae Pack's no longer in that circle of trust.
Right.
They've been coming up together too many years. This goes all the way back to South Carolina, high school team together, everything else, coming up together, childhood friend. You're not just unfollowing a guy off social media and having nothing to do with it. I highly doubt we're talking about that, but maybe in terms of image.
Right.
Right? And in terms of trying to improve that image. We said it. Why is that important? Well, Ja Morant's son sells a ton of shoes to kids. We saw it again this weekend at EYBL, how popular these things are, and the potential of the popularity, how big they can be. And so in terms of, you know, cleaning up that image, right? I mean, you, again, much of your marketing campaign is selling, you know, fluorescent shoes to kids. You know, what don't go with that is flashing guns.
Right.
And so if some of that image is cleaning up how you and Devontae Pack have sort of rolled and have come off on social media, then I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. If this is nothing other than, hey, I unfollowed a few people, right, and I cut it down to just my teammates and everything else, and there's not much more to it than that, then that's fine too. But what is clear to me, and we've said it since the second incident, you know, with the IG Live, is words don't matter anymore. It's actions. And if this is one of them, that's fine. I'm all for that. If it's not, okay. But again, it's going to have to come down to how you carry yourself, right? Day to day. It literally is from here on out, day to day. Look at how you're being watched. So much so that these folks are on your social media checking for who you're following and unfollowing. You know how much, I mean, for them it doesn't take much time, but for the majority of to go through all that searching, now he was following him yesterday, now he's not following, right? The way they're watching Ja Morant. Why? Because dude has got it. He's, for whatever reason, it factor, the way he plays basketball, the way for some he's so cool off the floor, to some it's another, it's not as cool. It's immature in some instances. Whatever it is, this dude has a chance. We're not just saying words when we say face of the league. Bryce James is the son of LeBron James. He's wearing Ja's shoes this weekend.
Right.
It's a huge chance. So you need to clean it up. And if this is part of that, forget clean. Tighten it up. Because you're a corporation now. And we've said the best way I could break it down is what I said last week. You got to be PG-13 at the most now. No more rated R stuff because of the chance right before me. And I ain't forget the money. Forget that it's not, you know, $230 million or whatever, and now it's $190 or whatever it is. Forget all that. There's so much more to still be had, Brad. So much more money at stake still with Nike and everything else because of how much this shoe could sell, how big your face could be. And I tell you what, I mean, it puts it even more of, you know, sort of going back to that question about what does Adam Silver do here? Because you've got such a face and a guy who has so much potential, who obviously didn't get the message the first time when you had the face-to-face meeting. So how stern a message do you send? You know? And again, it's, you have to be careful. And I wonder why it's, I don't think this is just PR or waiting on the, hey, let's do it for the final, or let's just wait till after the finals. You wonder how much of this is them going to the NBPA and saying, listen, we want to be, but, you know,
right.
We, you know, how much can we get past you guys? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Trying to go back and forth, because you come down with a 40-game suspension, Brad, I guarantee you're going to have the NBPA all over you.
Yeah.
How do you do that when Miles Bridges got 30?
Well,
for beating up a woman.
We've made the point that he didn't do anything illegal.
Nothing. It's critical here in the case of when you're talking about punishment. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes back into play, and it does matter that Ja wasn't doing anything illegal.
Right.
You know, didn't beat anybody up. We don't have a drug situation here, right, where he's failed a drug test or been caught. Right. And in some of those, we've seen, what, 25 game suspensions and everything else.
Yep.
And so, you have to. I was talking about this with my dad, who's expecting, oh man, they're just going to come down on him. We were going back and forth saying, Dad, well, of course Silver has to, right? He has to send a message,
yeah,
so he doesn't look soft,
yeah,
on players. But you can't go over a certain threshold because of precedent, because of what you've done in previous instances where you've had, you know, players fighting with spectators or violence.
Yeah.
You certainly can't go above those suspensions. And so it's so critical because, again, Ja Morant has a chance, man. And again, I mean it, to take over the league. To take over the league. Not just as a ball player. I mean as his shoes becoming the most, you know,
the marketer,
taking over the LeBron shoe. Maybe as big as KD's shoe.
Yeah.
Maybe. That chance is there. And so I say all that to say every single move he makes, every person or entity that he follows or unfollows, people are watching that. And hopefully through all of this, that has sunk into him, that every move I make is being watched. So like Alex Lomax told me when he was texting me after the incident in my house with the teenager, I got to move different.
Right.
Corporations like me, G's, yes, like me now got to move different. And so if unfollowing Devontae Pack on social media is, news outlets have reported as part of that, I'm all for it. I'm all for it as Ja Morant takes his next steps. And we still await you know, whatever punishment this is going to be coming down from Adam Silver. I imagine now, Brad, it's just it feels more likely you do it after the finals.
It
right?
seems
because
like
now it, you are in buildup mode.
Yeah, you got a big
all the
game
way
tomorrow.
Up to Thursday.
Yeah,
right. And if you drop Jai suspension, you're taking one of those days away from Miami and Denver, who absolutely deserve, you know, the buildup to this in a series that, frankly, I don't know, man. You just talk about from a rating standpoint. We didn't get much into that. Denver.
It doesn't
Denver,
feel
Miami.
Very sexy,
oh,
does
come
it?
On.
No, not
and
Denver.
I
sit,
and I know, I'm talking about with Trista Crick when we have her on 125 because she said last weekend, you know, she's tired of that Denver's boring narrative.
Right.
And Chris Mannix was one of those guys, and I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those guys, and she'll probably fight me at 125. But let's be real.
I think that's a fair take. I'm with you on this. It doesn't seem sexy to me.
Oh, I'd much rather have Denver Celtics. Yeah. If I got to have Denver, they've deserved it. They got, but this isn't like some team we're watching. I don't know what it is. I mean, I heard Harrington and Jeff going on about it, about how Jokic does play an exciting brand of basketball.
Yeah.
Always makes the right decision. He's a walking triple-double. But it ain't sexy.
No.
It ain't sexy and above the rim.
No,
there's something to be desired. It's beautiful basketball.
Yeah.
We watched the Celtics play ugly basketball last night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.